We have been talking about the kingdom of God for the last several weeks. And last week, I talked about, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force, and how that word violent does not mean in it a way of hostility. It is a radical different way in which we live our lives. And in being radical, Jesus took Nicodemus last week and told him that being radical for the kingdom starts with us being born again of the Spirit of God. And I showed you through the Scriptures how the Spirit bears witness to us that we are His children and that He will teach us all that we need to know. Today's message is called Being Radical, or Radical Change for a Radical Ending. If you would turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, we will be reading through verses 1 through 14. And as you're turning there, I believe the Lord wants us to have the goal in mind, the end. It's one thing for us to set a goal and never attain it. And there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people that are Christians that will never attain goal. Hear me. They will never attain the goal. And God wants us. He has prepared a way for us to attain this goal. But there's only one way that we will realize this attainment. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, starting in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parable and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' And so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The goal. What is the goal of a Christian? Who can tell me what the goal is? What's our goal? That's our job. That's his job. What's the goal? Heaven. The goal is getting to heaven, right? And Jesus said there's only one way you get to heaven, and that's how? Through Him. Right. But we see that through this parable, Jesus paints a picture that I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide is slowly losing its vision. You see, the church doesn't know what its job is anymore because it's not doing what it's been called to do. They have cheapened the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of our Lord in making it very easy for people to come into the kingdom. And believe me, it is. It is so easy to come into the kingdom that many won't, because it is that easy. But that's only the truth. And just like the world, the church is only telling half the story. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and you'll go to heaven. Come to Jesus and you'll be saved. Come to Jesus and He'll work out all your problems. Come to Jesus. Come. That's only half the truth. And Jesus, if you look at the 21st chapter, at the end of the 21st chapter, He gets into a discussion with the Pharisees, or actually the chief priest, and He tells them a parable of the landowner. And in the story of the landowner, He talks about how He has leased His vineyard to these guys to take care of them. And when He come back, He liked to see what's being produced. And very similarly, He sent His servants, and we know that the servants were the prophets, telling them that the king was coming and that you need to get ready. And they made light of them, even killed some of them, thinking that they could overtake and take the kingdom by their own means. And Jesus continues to paint the picture a second time with even more clarity and even more descriptive words to make people understand, not only in that time, but today, to understand the severity of what is going to happen to all those who pretend to be in the kingdom. Okay? He told them that the king was preparing a feast. And we as Christians must understand that we are His bride. We're His bride. We are going to heaven not to be served because we're just all these goody-two-shoes and God, Jesus thought it was a great idea. We're going there because we're getting married. Church, we're getting married. This week, Jesse and Gary are getting married. And they're making preparation. And there's an anticipation in their hearts that, whoa, it's coming. Whether I like it or not, it's coming. That day is coming, and I'm going to say I do, and I'm going to have my beautiful bride next to me, and we're going to make a life together in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is not coincidental. I mean, God, I had another message, and 1:30 this morning, God said, no, you're not preaching that. You're going to preach this message. I just think it's great because I didn't get to bed very early this morning. And as I know, some of you guys didn't either. But He tells them very clearly and succinctly that the goal for the believer is heaven. But that's not the end of the story. Okay? Jesus wants us to understand very clearly some really basic things about being radical for Him. We have to be born again into the kingdom. We can't get into the kingdom by being on our parents' coattails, and we can't get into the kingdom by being good and all this other stuff. Right? We have to get in by the way God has prescribed it, through faith in Jesus Christ, acknowledging that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And Jesus is my Savior because He's already paid for my crime. Thereby, I was a slave to sin. He has bought me back. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. I'm a slave one way or another. I don't have ownership of what I want. Act like we do. And I'm just as guilty. You know, I'm preaching to the choir because I'm singing the same tune. And I don't like getting my toes stepped. And I don't have steel toes today. But Jesus wants us to understand that everybody who wants to go to heaven, everybody, the Hindus are going to go to heaven, the Mormons are going to go to heaven, the Jews are going to go to heaven, black, white, purple, green, orange, Venus and Mars, whatever, wherever we're at, we're all going to go to heaven. We're all going to go there. And this may mess up somebody's theology. But the fact of the matter is, my Bible tells me that everybody's going to stand there. Everybody. From time infinite to the time when God says, that's it, no more, we're done. Out of here. We're all going to stand. And those who have lived their lives for Jesus Christ will be separated. Is that what the Bible tells us? He separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep will go to the right hand, the goats to the left. Why are they being separated? Why are they being separated? Because not everybody, understands that the truth is I'm getting married and I need to be prepared. You see, in those days when a king offered out an invitation, he sent two invitations in those days. And in those days, as we see in the parable, the king sent out an invitation to the people and they received that invitation. And they were making themselves ready. Right? That's what he said. Yeah. He said to his servants, go and tell them that the wedding is ready. That tells me that the invitation was already sent. People responded and said, we're going to be there, dude. No problem. We're going to be there. The second invitation came. They said, everything's ready. Come on. Come on, it's time to party, get down, put on your dancing shoes, get funky, get whatever you wanted to do. It's time now to celebrate this marriage between my son and his bride. But Jesus paints a picture here. And he says that the king sent them servants out, and those people were so caught up in their own stuff that they said, nah, we're not coming. Sorry, dude, I'm busy. I got a farm to run. You know, I'm making so much money in the business that I'm running here. You know, I just don't have time to go to the wedding. Sorry, it's just not happening. And the king sent out more servants. A third invitation. He only had to send two. He sent a third. Revealing how gracious God is to us. Again, those who had received the invitation and acknowledged, yeah, man, I'll be there, not only said again that they weren't coming, but they killed some of the servants and they also made fun of others. And what was the response of the king? The king was furious. And he destroyed all those people. He destroyed everything that they had. He destroyed everything that they thought was more important. He destroyed them utterly. Because they were found unworthy. And I thought about why the Lord, as gracious as He is and how full of mercy He is, why He destroyed them. And of course, you know, we could talk about the sin and all. But the greatest thing that can happen is you receive an invitation to an event, to an affair, and say you're coming and then don't. Or say that you're not coming. And in those days, you didn't refuse the king. You see, we are so selfish and self-centered that we forget that we insult the Lord Almighty. We insult Him by refusing the invitation or refusing to attend. You see, it's not about all the excuses we can make. Oh, I don't have a gift to bring to the event. Did they have to bring a gift? There was no stipulation about a gift. Well, you know, I'm really tired. I've been working so much, I'm just too tired to go. Was there anything about being tired? Well, you know, I'm just so caught up. You know, my job's a hassle and the kids got the flu. You know where I'm going. Cat's in the cradle. But it's been real nice talking to you, Dad. It's been real nice talking to you. And how many of us have received invites and the first thing we do is respond and say, yeah, I'm going to go to that. That's going to be great. And then things happen and we begin to make excuses about not attending. You see, there was a time span between the first invitation and the second invitation. When you received Jesus Christ, you received an invitation not only to attend the wedding, to be in the wedding, because the wedding is you. You see, it's about the bride. The groom's just standing there. He's kind of like eye candy for the moment. For the moment, it's about the bride and how beautiful she is and how she has made herself ready. And I believe the church of Jesus Christ has lost something. I believe she's lost the earnest anticipation of His coming. It's been 2,000 years. Jesus hasn't come yet. What's all the deal? He'll show up someday, but not in my lifetime. The first church, the early church, lived with that earnest expectation that the Lord Jesus could come at any time. And they were ready. They were ready. You see, in the Jewish history, what they used to do was they used to send the invite out. And all the things were arranged. This was an arranged wedding. You see, whether you understand it, it's been arranged from the foundations that we were going to marry the Son of God, the Son of Man. And we've been going through this thing for 6,000 years to get to this point that the marriage feast is ready. But are you? In Revelation it says, the bride has made herself ready. It's my responsibility and it's your responsibility to get ready. The invitations that we receive to go to an affairs, you know, we think about all the stuff that's going on in our lives and all, but we're actually insulting those who have invited us. The stipulation wasn't to bring stuff. The stipulation wasn't to do something special. The stipulation was, come. Come. Come as you are. You see, the other beautiful thing about a wedding was a royal wedding, of which we are to attend, is that the king provided the wardrobe. And we see that after the king had destroyed those who felt unworthy to go, he got everybody else, the good and the bad and the ugly, of which I fit all three. I'm good, I'm bad, and I am ugly on the inside, but I'm marvelous in Jesus Christ on the outside. And the guests put on everything. They took the provision of the king, and they're enjoying themselves. And the king walks in, and he looks around, and his friend. How'd you get in here? Well, why aren't you in the clothes that I provided for you? And he was speechless. And I've heard all the preaching about, this was an unsaved individual who got into God's wedding feast and, he snuck in. I don't want to get into the theology. I just want to share with you what Jesus painted here. Here's a guy who went to the feast, heard about the party, went to the feast, and was dressed in his own stuff. I say he was dressed in his own righteousness. He got there under his own pretense and own strength. And he stood out like a sore thumb. You see, in order for us to make ourselves ready for the feast, the wedding, we got to be dressed in the clothing that he's provided for us. You see, we have now taken on Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. We wear everything that he provides for us so that we don't stick out like a sore thumb. He loves us so much that he has no conditions but to come. And the feast is ready. We insult our king by not getting ready. We insult our king by not receiving the provision. We insult our king when we prioritize other things more important than our relationship with him. And on that day, sadly, those who go to the wedding feast will all not be part of that wedding feast. Because the only glimpse of heaven that they will have is the great white throne judgment. They will see the city that has been provided for the saints, you and I. The ants won't be there. The liars, the thieves, the fearful, the whoremongers, the prostitutes won't be there. Nothing wicked will dwell there. Because in God's kingdom, only good, love, peace, joy, happiness is going to be there. Nothing evil or wicked will be there. We can pretend all we want. I'm a Christian, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Baptist, or whatever. I don't care what you call yourself. If you're not living for God, you're in trouble, according to Jesus. You're not making yourself ready. You think you've got time, but you're not even given the next breath. And I'm not guaranteed that either. We sometimes worry about things that we shouldn't be worried about because we don't know what our job is. We don't know what our goals are that God has set for us. And when it's time for the feast to happen, we're not even dressed properly for it. Jesus is coming. The feast is ready. I want to read a scripture to you out of Revelation 19. Just listen. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. And this I heard, what sound like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. For true and just is His judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries." We all know who she is. The great Babylon. And He has avenged on her the blood of the servants. And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. He destroys their cities, and everything that's in there because they were counted unworthy. And then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God and who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. And then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him both small and great. You see, it's not an option. It is not an option to praise God here. It is all practice for what will eventually happen. We will praise Him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's so much easier to confess it and bend a knee here because He will have His angels ready to whack you of all your willfulness and then bind you and take you out to other darkness. You and I will praise Him and declare Him. And then I heard what was the sound of a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters, and like the loud peals of thunder and shouting, saying, Hallelujah, for our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Who's her bride? I'm a bride. And believe me, I struggle. I don't know how you girls do it. I don't know how to be a bride, but I'm paying attention to what's going on here and making myself ready. I'm not insulting my King who has invited me to come to His wedding and not make myself ready. Because I know that if I'm there in my own righteousness, I'm not going to be there long. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Again, speaking of the provision of our King. Fine linen, standing for the righteous acts of the saint. Then the angel said to me, Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him, but He said to me, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, God is telling us right now. He's telling us somewhere in the future, this wedding is going to happen. The answer to the question is, are you going to be there? Are you going to insult our King further by your disobedience and not make yourself ready? You see, it's not my responsibility to make you ready. My responsibility, according to the Scriptures, is to train you to make yourself ready. And if you don't want that training, that is not on me. That's on you. Because we know the end of the individual is he will be bound up, hand and foot, thrown into utter darkness. And we know what's utter darkness. What is utter darkness? But the lake of fire and separation from God in all eternity. You see, you're only as secure as your relationship to Jesus Christ. Not by your deeds, not by what you think or conduct yourself. It is you getting prepared for the wedding. That is our goal, is making ourselves ready to live with Him forever and ever. Amen. We receive a radical birth, but there will be a radical ending. And not all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved because they did not make themselves ready. God has provided everything for us. The question is, between us being born again and that great and awesome day when we see our King, our husband, our lover, our friend, our salvation, our sacrificial Lamb, Jesus. It is our responsibility to be in His Word, to to find out what it is that we are supposed to do with the help of brothers and sisters and pastors and elders and prophets and apostles and teachers. They are still functioning. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus hasn't come back, so those gift ministries are still in the church. Do not believe the lie, church, that because we have the Scriptures, there's no further need. We need them more today than from first. Because we have a sure word from Jesus Christ. I challenge you. I challenge you. Put your eyes focused on the goal. The goal isn't getting to heaven. The goal is staying there. And the responsibility that you have and I have is to make ourselves ready. Our job is to go and tell everyone out there about the kingdom of God and how much He loves them and how much they are worthy of this calling. I'm not preaching an evangelistic message. I'm preaching to the church to get herself ready and to understand if you don't, you will be disappointed at the end. And you'll have no one to blame but yourself. For God. Sometimes I'm successful, and sometimes I'm not. But I keep getting up. Jesus came and is standing in the back, waiting to come to the forefront. Church, we need to put the forefront of what our objective is. What is our goal? Is staying in heaven. Not to get there, but staying there. And we're going to suffer a lot of stuff. There's going to be stuff coming down the highway that's going to test us. And if He's testing me, and He is, He's going to test you. I pray that we get real with God real fast and make ourselves ready because He's coming. The feast is ready. The question is, are you? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word, God. I thank You, God, that everything that You tell us is true. Father, I ask that what I've communicated to Your people today, I pray that the enemy would not take from them, Lord, but it would find good soil in their hearts, God. And they see and have this rekindling of this earnest expectation of Your coming, God. You're not asking us for abject perfection. You're asking us to make ourselves ready. God, help us. For we have lost our vision. Help us, God. We have been consumed by the things of the world. Help us, God, to take responsibility and no longer insult You, Lord. Help us, God, to be true to You and make ourselves ready. Father, as we go forth this day, I ask that You bless Your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.